address each one this evening, and we do give everyone a very welcome in their service tonight, and I want to appreciate everyone that's been praying over this time for all the McKinstry family, and we certainly miss her brother Rock, but we know that he's with the Lord. And that's the thing that keeps us going, that we know we're going to meet again in a fair land, and that the Lord is coming again, praise God. And he's coming for a people that's ready. And we're going to be taken away from this scene of time, praise God, and go to be with the presence of the Lord. The Lord bless you tonight, and if you're visiting with us, the Lord bless you. And anyone that's tuned in this evening, may the Lord bless each and every one tonight. And we want to read from 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 13. And maybe those that's here could stand. And I preached from this portion before, but I'll not be apologizing for that, for God's word's relevant. And it's always relevant, for it's living. It's not like the newspaper. The newspaper, some things in it that's maybe not right, but God's word's all truth. Amen. It's the most up-to-date book there is. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 13. And tonight I want to say that you can be saved and know it. You can be saved and know it. A lot of people are hoping, trusting, but you can be saved and actually know you're saved. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son of life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let's bow our heads tonight, and we'll ask God's blessing on his word this evening. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the name of thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that the Comforter has come. And we thank you for the comfort of the Comforter. And I pray that that comfort will continue till all tonight that need your comfort. I ask you, Lord, as the Comforter drew in McKinstry them years ago, that men and women will be drawn to the Savior tonight. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. And I thank you that you do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. You can be saved and know it. You can know you're saved. I want to say, in the authority of this Bible, and in the authority of Jesus Christ himself, that you can be saved now. And you can know it now, beyond all question and beyond all doubt. And you can have the wonderful assurance you already have a home in heaven. And that assurance will never be taken from you. You're going to have that assurance tonight from the Lord and from his word. Now, when I say what I'm going to say in a moment, I'm not getting at any people that's a different religion or anything from us. But the Roman Catholic Church and many other persons claim that you'll not know you're actually saved till after death. And I want to say this evening that that's a false doctrine. And that's a doctrine of no hope and no assurance. But the Word of God tonight gives us hope and blessed assurance that when we have Jesus, we have life. For he is life. I say that salvation is present tense. It's a present tense matter. You may absolutely know that you have it, that you pass from death onto life, that you have eternal life, that you've come to Christ, and that he is your Savior, and you will never be cast out or cast away, and that no one can pluck you from the Lord's hand, because when the Lord saves you, the Lord will keep you. Jesus says that none have I lost, Father, that thou hast given me. And no man can come unto me, Jesus said, except my Father draweth him. And it is God that draws men and women by the Holy Spirit. And it is Jesus that does the saving. And once you're saved for all time and all eternity. You're not saved for a week or a month or a year. When the Lord saves you, you stay saved because you never saved yourself. If you'd done the saving, it wouldn't last long, but the Lord done it. And the Lord keeps you. And he says he's able to set beside you faultless before the Father. Verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Here you're called to believe on the name of the Son of God, not on any other name. I want to emphasize this tonight. There is neither salvation in any other name, for there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. This is the only saving name, the name of Jesus Christ. No church, no priest, no pope, or orange order, or purple, or blue, or any color can save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. Christ alone is the one that does it. Neither is our salvation in any other. My friend, this evening, if you're listening in and your hopes are built on some other thing, your hopes are built on broken sticks, on wood, hay, and stubble, but the song says, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. When you have the Son, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Verse 14 of 1 John chapter 3 says this. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. I tell you, if you can't love your own brother in the flesh, how can you say you're saved? If you're saved, you'll love your brother. You'll forgive him. You know, Jesus says, if you don't forgive those that trespass against you, he'll not forgive you. And you must forgive to be forgiven. No good harboring things, but you need to be forgiven. And the Lord Jesus even said, Father, forgive them. They were crucifying him. Yes. Nailed his hands, pierced his side. Yes. Put a thorn in his lovely brow. Stripes was put on his back. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I tell you, if you were to go back into the book of Genesis, you'd read of a man called Cain. And Cain killed his brother Abel. He was jealous of him, because Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And Cain rose up against Abel and slew him. And Abel's blood cried to God from the thorns. And Abel's blood cried for vengeance, for justice. But 2,000 years ago on the cross, the blood of Jesus cried from under the thorns on his brow for mercy and for grace and forgiveness. Jesus has already prayed for you and me, for he's done it on the cross, and you can come. Here it is again. People can be saved and people can know it. Romans 8 verse 16, the Spirit of self-birth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Once you're saved, the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are the sons of God. John Wesley preached for years and wasn't saved. But as he took a trip into America and he saw people called the Moravians, and a storm came and almost sank the boat, and they worshipped God and praised God, and John Wesley couldn't understand it. They had no fear of death because they were saved people. And Wesley wasn't saved. And John Wesley's father, he says, John, you need the inner witness. One night when John Wesley preached his own sermon, he got saved. And he got the inner witness, and that inner witness is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Aren't you glad this evening for the inner witness, for the Holy Spirit? Oh, I tell you, I thank God for the Comforter tonight. By these scriptures, what they say must be believed. that a child of God can have unmistakable evidence that he or she is saved. Now here's another thing I want to say. If you have Christ, write this down. If you have Christ, you have salvation. I'm going to say it again. If you have Jesus Christ, you have salvation. Now you can have church membership. You can have all sorts of membership. And you can have your name in every single book in this country. But you wouldn't be saved. But if you have Jesus Christ, you're saved. Amen. Because if you have Jesus Christ, you have salvation. For him that hath me, Jesus says, has eternal life. You're not looking for it, you have it. The search is over. Do you hear that? The search is over. Look no more. Him that is Christ has salvation. Look again at our text, which we open with tonight. 1 John 5, 11 and 12, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. Now I know some people preach you can be saved and lost, but they're not reading these verses. Because you can't be saved and lost if you read these verses. If a man's saved, he's saved. Oh, but he made a mistake, show me the man that didn't. And you're showing me the Savior. I'll say it to you again. Show me a man that never made a mistake, and you're showing me the Savior. Jesus is the only one that never made a mistake. That's why he's a Savior. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When you're saved, you'll still make mistakes. But that doesn't stop you from being saved because it's God's gift to you. You never worked to get it. You never went on a holy mission or a holy march or the weekend's fasting or the betterment program. Or the New Year solution. But you took the name Jesus and you're saved. Because there's salvation in the name. And if you've got the name, you're saved. Because that name is salvation. Thank God tonight for the name. Oh, thank God for the Son. He that hath the Son has life. And he that hath not the Son of God has not life. How simple is that? My, you don't need to be a college professor to know it. The Bible says the common people heard Jesus gladly. Jesus spoke words of life, not death. He went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. The Lord was with him. Let's look carefully at what this verse says here first. That God has given us eternal life. That's what the verse says. You know, when we had a funeral for my own brother in the flesh and brother in the Lord, I got up with the confidence knowing that he's with the Lord. I know the angels carried his soul to heaven. I believe that tonight. And they carried him away to glory. And he's in the glory tonight. And the casket's left, but he's not in it. This body's only a suitcase for the soul. And we have confidence knowing where he's went. Absolute assurance. It's not a hope when you're trusting, it's a believing. And you just believe. I thank God, a great friend of mine, an old brethren man, said to me, how do you do it? He says, you just believe. And that's what it means, just believe. Don't try to do it, just do it. It's like putting that light switch on to get the lights in here. You hit it and it comes on. You believe and you're saved. You just believe. Whosoever believes shall be saved. First, that God has given us eternal life. That is another way of saying salvation's free. Free. God is not selling salvation, he's given it. It's not for sale. You can't buy it. You can't work to get it. You can't say, I'll approve how I am first, for it'll come. I'm not good enough to come. You never would be. You never would be good enough to come. I would never be good enough to come. You would never be good enough to come. Because we're not saved by works. Ephesians tells us that. Not for by grace you're saved through faith. Ephesians chapter 2. Not of yourselves. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Sure, if it was been good enough, there's a whole lot of people could put the brownie stars up, couldn't they? I had a great week. What is a great week? What man calls a great week's folly in the eyes of God.
A great wake. If you're saved, that's a great wake. If somebody comes to the Lord, that's a great wake. That's what a great wake is. You could make 2 million this week, and it would solve a lot of earthly problems. Some of us could do with it. I'm one of them. But it wouldn't change eternity. You could have it all and be sorrowful if you weren't saved. The Bible says the root of money is the root of all evil. I tell you, look at the rich man in the Bible. He decided he'd build bigger barns. The ones he had wasn't big enough. And the Lord said to him, "Thy fool, thy soul shall be required of thee this night." John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." How did he get saved? Through his Son. Yes, amen. He doesn't say through the church or the movement. But it's through Christ. Salvation's free. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's given to you." Did any of us open any parcels at Christmas? I opened a few myself. Now, don't but try to play games with me the night. You would have all wee sad faces on you if you never had a wee parcel open. My wife can tell you, I give half the much our children get every year. And then she says to me, "Oh, you would have a queer look on your face if you'd no parcels to open." Sure, that's the truth. But maybe the wife bought the husband, or the husband bought the wife, and vice versa, and you didn't know what you're getting. And some people could have still surprises ahead that they don't know about yet. We surprises are great, aren't they? But when somebody gives you it, it's a gift. You never went out to the shop and looked for it. They just give you because they love you. And God gave his only begotten Son, not any son. The Lord's a lot of sons, but his only special, unique Son, the beloved of his bosom, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. For this reason and purpose he came, to save sinners. Christ died for sinners and nobody else. Thank God for that tonight. There's hope for every one of us. You cannot work for salvation. It comes because of the love and mercy and grace of God. Salvation is a gift of God. As it says in 1 John 5:11 says, God has given us eternal life. Here's another thought this evening. The same verse says, and this life is in his Son. Where's this life? It's in his Son. I want to emphasize that again tonight. I've already said it, but you can never say it enough. People this evening, and they're not going that way. They're seeking for life, and the way they're seeking, they'll never find it, because it's not there. It's not there, but it's here in his Son. The only salvation God can give anybody is in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's plan of salvation. That's his plan. Jesus Christ came into the world to save no one but sinners. Nobody else can save them. And nobody else is eligible to save them. I couldn't save you, for I'm a sinner. I was born a sinner. You were born a sinner. You can't save me. But Jesus wasn't born a sinner. Jesus was not born a sinner. Not only was Jesus not born a sinner, but the Bible says he knew no sin and he had no sin. But though he knew no sin and though he had no sin, he became sin for us. He took our place. He swapped places with us, if you like. And he went the whole way to the cross. And he bore our sin and our guilt on the tree that we could be free. Nobody else can save them. Nobody else can. God has no other mediator. He's not put salvation into anyone else's hands to distribute it. Did you hear that? No one else can distribute salvation. Only Jesus Christ. He is the source and the only source. Some people think salvation's in the church, but they're wrong. Salvation's in Christ alone. Some people believe salvation's in the hand of the priest, but they're wrong. Salvation is in the hands of Jesus Christ himself personally. Yes. Personally. Some people are taught that by ordinances of the church, salvation can be given by infant baptism or sprinkling or water. But water cannot save. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ you're saved. Not by water. Or think by communion at the altar, they can be saved. They think this gives salvation. But salvation is not in the priest, or the preachers, or in the ordinances, or in the churches, nor in what's called the bride or the bride movement. But it's in Jesus Christ. On Jesus Christ alone. Want you to get that tonight? Now, if I mention the Pope tonight and there's a Catholic man or woman listening to me, don't be offended. But I must preach the truth. And the Pope said that you don't need to come to Jesus. You can come to me. And his name, he says, you know, vicarius filii in place of the Son of God. Well, I want to say tonight that no one is in place of the Lord Jesus Christ, for they're not big enough. Did you hear that? And they're not holy enough. And they're not pure enough. And their blood won't do it. Because their blood bears the mark of original sin and corruption. Because the Bible says we're born in sin and sheep in iniquity. But Jesus was virgin born. And death had no claim on him. But death has a claim in every man. No matter how good a man is, death has a claim on him. But death had no claim on Jesus. But Jesus willingly stepped into death, challenged death. And he died on the cross, but he didn't stay dead. God raised him from the dead. And the tomb's empty tonight, and Christ is risen. And not only is Christ risen, but he went back to the right hand of the Father and he sat down in the majesty on high. And you know, when you read sat down, that means the work's finished. The work is finished. The price for your salvation and mine's been fully paid. And all you have to do is believe. 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. When any poor sinner confesses to the priest his sins, and the priest promises him forgiveness, the priest either ignorantly or willingly deceives the confessing sinner. He either willfully or ignorantly deceives the confessing sinner, because the Bible says only the blood of Jesus Christ can remove sins. Nothing else can remove sins. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Now here's the question I pose to any priest. Who forgives your sins? And who gives you the authority to forgive the sins of others? When an earnest soul prays to the Virgin Mary, asking her to intercede with Christ, he does wrong, and he dishonors Christ. For salvation's not in the Virgin Mary, but in God's Son, Jesus Christ. There's no scripture that says you can be saved through the Virgin Mary. The scripture says only by Jesus Christ are you saved. The Virgin Mary's blessed above all women. She's a wonderful woman. The Bible tells us we're to remember her. We're to reverence her. But you can't save one of us. Not a one of us. And on the day of Pentecost, you had to receive the Holy Spirit the same as the rest of them. But there's salvation in Christ. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. Want you to hear these words clear this evening. I'm going to be very clear with these scriptures this evening. I feel somebody's listening. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The Lord does not put anyone else in He's the only way to God. There's no other way. I want to tell you, it's a sad road that a man could travel on all his life doing all sorts of programs and rituals and he's not saved. But yet a man could live as rough and as wild as a hare and he could come to the Lord and get saved because he knows he's not good enough. But Christ is. Just as surely as there is one God only, so there is only one mediator between God and man. That mediator is Jesus Christ only. The only one. There's only one, there's not two. When you read in your Bible one God, then you read in your Bible one mediator. The Lord doesn't need another one. He doesn't need no help. Who would help him? Who could help a man that never sinned? Nobody could help him. None of us could help him. We couldn't give him a hand, but we need him. Oh, do you think this evening maybe you'd give the Lord a wee hand? Well, I'll take you to Romans chapter 5, and here's what it'll tell you. For when we were without Christ, we were without strength. Hopeless as a baby depending on his mother. When that little baby's born, it's fully 100% dependent upon its mother. If its mother left it, it would die. And we're without Christ, we're without strength, we're hopeless. And we're dead men and women walking. For if you haven't got Jesus Christ, you're dead spiritually. But once you get Christ, you're made alive. Is that the Bible? That's my Bible. You're quickened. Made alive. Ephesians says we all walked in darkness. Strangers from the covenants of promise, without no hope, no guide. But then it says, by grace he is saved through faith. Thank God for that tonight. No movement, no religion, no special group, no Mary, no saints, no earthly priest, no pope, but Jesus Christ alone is a mediator between God and man. Jesus Christ alone. No one else. John 10 verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the door. Now I want to tell you, and I want to ask you, how did you come into this building tonight? You come into this room tonight through a door. Because the open door was the way in. And you come to God through his door. And his door is a person. Of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the door. There's no other door. And there's not two doors or three doors, there's one door. One door and only one, in which the sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? And that door's open tonight. It's open. And no one else. Not only is it open, but the Bible says, whosoever will may come. Whosoever. That includes everybody. And casts out nobody. Whosoever will may come. How do you know the Lord will save anybody? Because the Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should be saved. The Lord wants to save you. My mother and father who bring... The mother and father who bring their child for sprinkling or christening and take solemn vows for a child are taking upon themselves too much. They're doing too much. Listen to what I'm telling you tonight. There's a lot of religion in this country, in Protestant churches, which is absolutely false teaching. It's not scriptural. They cannot save the child and they cannot make vows for the child. Making a vow for the child that your child to do this and your child to do that. You can't do it. For you don't know what they'll do. It's only in the hands of God. And the only thing you can do as a believer is pray for them. And the Spirit of God does the rest. Paul says, who can say whether they'll come or they won't? You pray for them and believe. But they can't vows and sprinkling. I'm trying to say they've been in heaven because of vows and sprinkling. But when they come to an age of understanding, they're going to have to be saved. Just like me and you have to be saved. Mike, I can tell you, you can put them in the water if you want. You can bring them out wet. They'll go in a wet devil and come out a wet devil. If they're not saved, it'll make no difference. The water's no power. The power's in the name of Jesus. That's for the parents. Believing Christian believers get baptized in obedience to Scripture because they're shown to the world they die and resurrect with Christ. But it doesn't save them. Only Christ saves. My, if water was to save people, would go out around the town tonight and throw it over people. But it wouldn't save a one of them. All you do is wet them. Give them the cow, maybe. But it wouldn't save them. But Jesus Christ saves. Not only does Jesus save you, you'll stay saved when he saves you. Because you're going to save to know it. 1 John 5:11, this is a record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. I'm coming to a close this evening. Only through Christ can you be saved. Now I'm pulling this piece of paper out because I wrote this down. A man that I highly respect as a preacher in this country said these words, and I wrote them down. Who is a Christian? We hear a lot of people and they say, I'm a Christian. They claim they're a Christian because they go to a church or a chapel. That doesn't make you a Christian. You can't be a Christian without Christ. Because the word gives it away. Christian. Christ in. That's what makes you a Christian. And if Christ's not in, you're not a Christian. You could be a Methodist, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Message believer. You could be all them names and still not a Christian. And you wouldn't be saved either. You need to have Christ in to be a Christian. Christ in. Christian. What is a Christian? A Christian is any person, no matter what his color, class or creed may have been, who believes the record that God has given of his Son in the Word of God and accepts the verdict of God upon himself as a sinner. Do you accept you're a sinner? Some people don't. Some people don't think they're a sinner. That's like a man drowning and he doesn't know he needs saved. If he's drowning, he'll know he needs saved. And you're not saved, you're a sinner. And us that are saved sinners. We're saved because we were sinners. Saved sinners. Accepts the verdict of God upon himself as a sinner. Confesses he is lost and hell deserving. Makes bare his heart and all his sins to God only. You don't have to come down here and confess to a couple of the elders or the deacons. You confess your sins to God. What good would it do you telling some man? And no matter how good the man is, someday he could let it slip, something you done. And he could tell it to somebody else. And before you know it, the rabbit will become an elephant. Yes. That's what happens. Too much talk. But I want to tell you this here occasion and this affair is done between you and God. Amen. You confess to Jesus Christ alone because it's only his ear can hear it. Amen. For every other ear is corrupted. Did you hear that? That's the truth. That. Oh, my ear wouldn't be corrupted. Well, you're a liar if you believe that. There's not a man here couldn't make a mistake before he hits the back door. Jesus Christ made no mistakes. You tell your sins to him. You know what it says? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus Christ. Ask to be cleansed from the Savior's precious blood, through the blood, throwing himself for salvation by faith alone, through grace alone, on Christ alone. The true Christian gladly confesses, I'm only a sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. That's a true Christian. Can you say tonight, Christ is your all in all? Is Christ your all in all tonight? Are you dependent upon the system or the church, or are you dependent upon Jesus Christ? My, you could look up to some great man that could let you down, couldn't he? I could let you down. Somebody else could let you down. But the Lord will never let you down. He can't fail. Because he's a Savior. Let's stand our feet tonight. Praise God. I want to tell you this evening, I want every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved tonight, then you need to be saved. All you have to do to be saved is call on the name of the Lord. Acknowledge your condition. Your condition is that of a lost man or a lost woman, of a sinner. But there's hope. And that hope is in the person of Christ. And he's standing with open arms tonight. And if you'll call upon his name, you'll be saved. Won't you pray to be saved tonight? God bless you. Well, every head's bowed, every eye closed. If someone's listening tonight and you need a touch in your body, I want you to touch your phone or whatever you're watching on, or those in the service, if you have an ailment in your body, put your hand on it right now, wherever it is. And I'm going to pray a prayer of faith. I want you to believe God that through the name of Jesus Christ, you can be made whole. Heavenly Father, I thank you this evening for the word of God. Lord, you promised that you'd confirm your word with signs and with wonders and miracles. And we know the greatest miracle is the salvation of souls. I pray that somebody will call on the Lord tonight and be saved. Father, I'm asking you for those that need a touch on their body. Touch that back. Touch the stomach. In the mighty name of Jesus. Touch the throat. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, whatever the condition is, may you touch it and heal it. In Jesus' precious name. By your stripes, your wounds, we are healed. We bless you tonight. We thank you for your salvation. So rich and free. Bless your people now. Bless all that's listening in tonight. And answer prayer. And Father, add to your work such as shall be saved. To your church. The church of the firstborn. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as a brother Gary comes. The Lord bless you. Knows it's had a name. But you believe God's done something for you. Just believe it. I saw a wonderful testimony this week. My wife saw it. A sister from America sent her it. Young girl had alopecia. All her hair come out. She's just about 19. She lost all of her hair. And the doctors told her there's nothing they could do. She came to church and the elders anointed her with oil and prayed for her. And she posted the outcome. And all of her hair grew again. And it's right down till her waist. Not only did it grow, but it was right down till her waist long. That's what God's able to do. If God can save a sinner, he can heal a sick body. He's a Savior and he's a healer. And he's a coming King. And he's worthy to be praised. Let's praise him tonight as our brother comes. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. Let us sing that hymn. Unto him who has loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be the glory forever. Amen. Hearts and with vials are stalled through and through. can't remember how the first line goes. Arise, my soul, arise, shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice on my behalf appears. Amen.